Welcome to the Toddcast, everybody. I am John, as always. With me tonight is Bo, as always.
How we doing, y'all?
And our very special guest and longtime friend and fellow nerd, Sean Gabarin. How you doing, Sean? Oh, didn't really hear you there.
Doing all right.
There we are. Okay, cool. Making sure we weren't having any audio issues. Like last week, we had some glitches with Sora. It was kind of fun. So, all right. So we're going to do some a little bit of NDC housekeeping real quick. We have a couple events coming up. The Secret Warehouse sale is next week. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, $1.50 and a quarter, all at the warehouse out in Elwood. So if you need information on that, stop by your local New Dimension Comics and get a flyer. Or check out our website at ndcomics.com. While you're at ndcomics.com, make sure you hit the little shop button, and you can actually shop the stores online right now. If you have your Comics Hub ID on there, you can also use your rewards per location that you are already logged into. It's the same email and ID and password as you would use to do your subscription service, which, by the way, if you don't know, you can log on to comichub.com and start a subscription server with us, or subscription service with us, or you can stop at any of the stores and do it. Super easy. Comes with an app, a customer website. It's very fun, and it makes everybody's life so much easier. Helps you get those books that you might miss. All right, so we're gonna talk a little bit about comics, which is the fun part, and then we'll talk to Sean some more. So Sean, feel free to jump in at any time while we talk about these books.
Sounds good.
All right, so my first book is Sex Criminals number 69. This is the last issue of this book. I have every single one. The XXX covers this time were super great. The last, I want to say 20 issues had XXX covers. And they're just hilarious. So in this issue, the two main characters haven't seen each other for a while. They end up at a wedding of two of the other supporting characters from within the book. And you kind of watch as, like, pretty much everybody from the book ends up at this random wedding on an island. They've all lost their powers. The wedding cake is a mech with the two guys on it. I believe the mech was his power. And it was just kind of like a cool, bittersweet love story ending. And then it's filled with tons of absolutely ridiculous Chip Zdarsky and Matt Fraction letters, pages, including the sex tip. The Jerry we refer to in these tips was sexual being and writer Jerry Dugan. So overall, really great. If you haven't checked this book out, check it out. There are hard covers, which are also called the big hard ones.
Is that what they named theirs?
Yeah, they're all three of them are the big hard ones. They're the compendium size. There's not actually 69 issues. There's like 50 or there's no. There's like 30 something. So it's really not too hard to get a hold of. And the issue, but the penultimate issue was the Sexual Gary one shot, which was one of the reasons that we restarted the Toddcast, because I read this book. I wanted to talk about it so bad with people and I couldn't. And it came out like 2 months ago, but check it out. It is freaking hilarious. All right, Bo, what do you got?
A couple titles I'm going to recommend to people. I did read them. I think I'm going to give them a second chance, but just if you guys haven't checked out Giga, I don't know. I'm just going with Giga or Gija. But and then Sympathy for No Devils, which I think you picked this up too.
I actually picked up both of those books, yeah. But I have not read them yet.
I did. They're definitely going to, I think they're going to be worth a second look. You have to let me know what you think. But okay. The first book up is the 2000 AD sci-fi special. And the only reason why wanted to check it out was just because I am the hugest Judge Dredd fan ever. And it's just a cool look. It's been 20 years now that Dave was in, 20 years with Rebellion and whatnot. And Just your typical Judge Dredd stories. They got, you know, they got the Judge's story, and it was cool because they had a Brit City Babe story, Dead World story, which was actually an old one they just rehashed and whatnot. But right. really cool to check out if you get the chance. And then plus they teased in the one Judge Dredd story, they teased like a big crisis in the 2000 AD universe. So that'd be kind of cool because they had a crossover with Judge Dredd and Zombo Prime. So it'd be cool to see them guys together and have everybody like a big crisis, like a DC Marvel, but in a 2000 AD situation. So pretty cool. And just because anything Judge Dredd comes out, I must talk about. I have to.
I would love to see, and I think we've talked about this before, a Judge Death versus the Batman Who Laughs, because they basically look identically.
I always wonder that, like, the copyright infringement from DC on that, like, has no one looked into that? But I mean, that's probably why I like Batman Who Laughs too. So
that's,
I mean,
fair. First,
I have Judge Death tattooed on my body, so that's
that is true.
He was the first. So, but yeah.
Well, speaking of Batman, that will segue me into Batman Three Jokers number 3. This is the third part of the three-part series. Slight spoilers. They go down to one Joker by the end. Not going to tell you who survives. But it was, like, it wasn't as great, yes, as I hoped it would be. It was a bit of a letdown. I thought the first issue was very good, but I think it progressively just went downhill, which sucks because this is pretty much, I think, the last thing we're going to see from Geoff Johns in a long time. But I thought the art was absolutely fantastic. Josh Fabok is a great artist.
The best. Yeah. So,
but it was pretty good.
It was a flat ending. Like, if you, how do you say, if you can read into things, and it opens up like a world of possibilities for that, like, you know, Joker history and stuff like that. I think it does. So it was, yeah, it was a flat ending. Oh, I got to agree with you.
I give it like a B minus overall. Mm-hmm. Most of it was for the art, but the writing was, it was solid. It's just the story wasn't, it didn't keep the hype,
yeah,
as it went along. Like,
it's
like
a shame.
You know, yeah, but I mean, in this book alone, there's like three pages that are just full, just art. There's no words, yeah, at all. It's great. Yeah. So, yeah, all right,
for sure. What's your second book? At least it showed off what Fable can do, because I don't think that dude gets enough.
I agree.
He doesn't get more work and whatnot, so, or be in more stuff, not get more work. But this, however, was a fucking 10, a goddamn A plus. That is my second book. I loved it.
TNT. Hold on, you got to remember to tell people what the book is.
I know, but I mean, I hold that up. Most, I would assume, because Last Ronin's been talked about this week, but pushed back, and then stores got their orders cut down more, which made them even kind of more of a pain in the ass to find. But there is about 7 billion different covers that you may have to pay a little bit for, but there is, yep, so many cool covers out there. But anyways, I'm going to say spoiler alert, because, you know, this is just too good of a book. Basically, we don't know a whole lot that's going on, but it's just one brother left of the, you know, the four. And he is out trying to, it apparently seems that three of the brothers were killed by Shredder's grandson. I think that is, yeah, that is where we're going.
Wait, hold on. So
this
first,
is very far in the future.
First, yeah, the Shredder has to have a child with someone first,
which in the comics he does, and I can't for the life of me remember the name. God, it's just slipping my mind. Okay. But anyways, but it is the grandson of Shredder, Rukusaki, whatnot. But at the end, you know, he fails trying to, you know, get revenge on the grandson, and he wakes up. You know, he's badly hurt in a fight. Wakes up and April O'Neil is apparently still alive. So he's still got April. And like I said, spoiler alert, flip to like the next minute or so in the video if you need to. But it's Michelangelo is the last run. And that right there was just the shit to me. I had a grin ear to ear because of that. The most unlikely person like to be put in a serious spot, because Mikey's always, you know, the goofball and everything like that. And having him as the last run, like real serious and going out. It's such a cool concept. I can't wait for the next issue.
So. Let's be fair. He was probably like stoned and passed out somewhere.
That's also like, fine. I mean,
but he just got real baked, ate a shitload of pizza, and just passed out somewhere. And that's why he missed that last fight.
He may, because he still talks to his brothers. He just has random conversation with them, and they're just like bubbles coming from the back of the screen, just talking to him.
So it's kind of like that Bendis Moon Knight run where he thinks he's Captain America and Wolverine. It is. Okay, well then maybe I'll actually buy this book and check it out.
Worth it. So worth it.
All right, I have two honorable mentions for this week, and then we'll be done with this. So my first honorable mention is Batgirl 50. I only mention it because Ryan Wilder is in this. It's first appearance of Ryan Wilder. I wanted to see how they were going to do that. She's going to be the new Batwoman on the CW show, so they had to bring her into the continuity somehow. The first pictures of her in the outfit are out there. My only thought was, why would her real hair be out there? The whole point of the cowl for Kate was that it was a wig, so that it wasn't actually her real hair getting pulled, but whatever, not my decision. But I thought it looked good overall. We'll see how it goes. But the character in the books is, she's in there for like four panels.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
It's really short. It's actually a bunch of mini stories. And the last one with the Birds of Prey is really good. And at the end, they're all playing D&D together, which is really fun. My other honorable mention.
That's one of the hot books of the week.
Yeah,
very hot book this week.
I think it'll be more hot when she actually becomes Batwoman in the book. So. But my other one, honorable mention, is Electric Black Presents number one from Black Caravan.
Sell this to me. This is one book I didn't pick up this week. Sell it to me.
I mean, this is schmalky at his best. it's two stories. The first one's very plague doctory. The second one is just, it's kind of almost like a Solomon Grundy style story. I really enjoy everything that dude churns out. Like, I love
it. Has been good.
You know, he's been doing a lot of stuff, and on the back it actually tells you some of the other things that they've put out, which includes Phantom Starkiller, which was a book
which was awesome last week.
Providence, the Parhaphanauts, which was a book that I used to love, The Shepherd, Gods of Brutality, Province of Madness, and Broken Souls Ballad, which I've never. Oh, and Black Friday. So there's that. So now we're gonna talk a little nerd news. Sean, how you doing? You good? You good? All right.
I'm good. Yep.
Cool. Just making sure.
I haven't gotten to read any of those yet, so I didn't have much to say on any of them.
It's all good. They all came out yesterday, so some of them might be in your pull box at the mills. I don't know.
And I'm sorry if I spoiled anything for you.
Right. He's used to it. It's fine. Big news in Pittsburgh related, Dave Wachter was announced as the artist on a miniseries of Iron Fist with Larry Hama coming out next year. That is huge.
It's cool.
You know, and congratulations to Dave. He deserves it. He did a killer run on Ninja Turtles. He did some Godzilla work. He's done a lot of IDW work in general. He had I forget what it was called. Crumuncheon, I believe, was the art book he kind of did, which was cool. But he's been killer. I love Dave's work. It's awesome. If you haven't checked it out and you own the issue with the first appearance of Jenica from Ninja Turtles, he did that.
Yes.
Book. Yeah.
Yes.
There's that. Tomorrow, some big awesomeness. The Mandalorian season 2 starts on Disney Plus. So everybody that paid for that subscription, it's finally paying off again after the first year renewals came up last week, like mine did. I'm pretty excited for it. I kind of hope they get away from doing things with the child and get into actual a little more storytelling in the universe. I just thought they kind of I know why they did it.
They've got plans. So yeah. I mean, there's some cool people they got talked about going to be hopefully in this season. So
yeah, I thought they focused a little too much on the child in the first season. But I understand why they did it so that it would be, he would become a main character for this season. Other than that, I thought the storytelling was absolutely great. It looked better than a lot of TV out there in general. So I dug it. The next thing I have down is, so Saved by the Bell is coming back in a new way. And this is, I don't know if they're doing this in November or in October because it's Halloween and it's just kind of scary to think about. But Zach Morris being the governor of California totally blows my mind.
I didn't know they went that way with it.
Yeah, apparently, like, he's closing certain schools and kind of putting schools together. And, like, Slater's the gym teacher and his son's in high school. And Kelly and Jesse are also coming back for it. I know there at one picture they kind of show them as Zach Attack but older, which really made me excited because I was like, oh man, this is great. I hope they play the prom. So I'm kind of excited for that, but that's gonna be on Peacock, I believe. So make sure you guys check that out. I know I'll at least be checking it out at least for the first couple episodes just to see, especially if it's free on Peacock. I don't know if I'm gonna have to pay for it. If I have to pay for it, I'll wait. And the last thing, another comic announcement. So in the November previews from Black Box, there's a book called She No Cage. It is by two guys that I know from the Altoona area. Neil, who runs Comic Vault in Altoona, and then Gus Mock is doing all the art, and it's going to be like a ninja kind of Snake Eyes-y kind of storyline. You can order it now at your local comic shop, so check that out. We're going to actually have those guys on the podcast at some point to talk about the book. I was talking to Neil about it yesterday. Congratulations to those guys. That's awesome. So, all right. Now we can talk to Sean. So, Sean and I have known each other for like 10 years. Yeah. It's been a long time. We've gone through a lot of really crazy stuff. We've gone to New York a couple times together. We've done a couple other cons together. He's a staple at Three Rivers Comic Con. He's done some amazing work, like his books, Fracture, and he did the Puppet Master run. He's done some cool independent stuff that he's going to talk about today. So Sean, why don't you tell everybody like how you got into comics, how you, like got into writing, and then how you got into publishing for a while. Cause, you have a very, deep involvement with Action Lab and when it started. So maybe a little bit about that and then where you are now and anything you get coming up and how we can get some of that goodness.
All right. The starting to write thing was interesting, I guess. I originally wanted to be an artist and I went to art school, did the whole graphic design thing. But I was just really slow drawing. So I kept throwing these story ideas at my wife and I was like, you know, and this one would be fun to do and I could do this. And she's like, just shut up. Let me go to sleep and I'll draw something for you. I was like, okay, cool. So the next day I started writing and we came up with our own little thing. We were Angry Gnome Comics and we self-published a bunch of stuff for maybe 6 or 7 years we were doing that. And then I met a bunch of guys at conventions and we all decided that, you know, we're all selling the same, like, you know, couple hundred copies to the same couple hundred people at every show. So we wanted to try to do something more. So we pulled everything that we could do together and started Action Lab and started, you know, just getting into Diamond and doing the comic distribution. And that's when I met you because I came into the mills and was like, with a little printout of like the first handful of pages from the first issue of Fraction, I was like, can you order this?
I remember this.
yeah. So, and then from there, you know, we were off to the races. We started getting people submitting books to us. We started publishing stuff for people outside the company, which was pretty awesome. That was a really cool thing to have, you know, have start happening. And then recently I've just gone back to self-publishing because there's, you know, a lot of my ideas are oddball horror stuff that I don't think needs a direct market or doesn't quite fit what I think a direct market concepts yeah. are. Mm-hmm. So wanted to just do some work that I wanted to do with artists I love working with and just have some fun with it.
That's kind of the way to go, man. I mean, if you're going to mm-hmm. do it, have fun, right? That's mm-hmm. what everybody says. So no, that's super cool. I do remember, I think I actually met you during the Angry Gnome days at a Pittsburgh Comic Con way back. Probably. But then I mostly remember you from bringing in the Fracture, a couple pages of Fracture, which by the way, was one of my favorite books, from Indie Guys. I thought it was a really excellent idea. Like, cause it's basically a guy with a split personality and he's the hero and the villain.
Right.
Which was super cool to kind of see. And you drew that, or you worked on that book with Chad Ciccone, who's also from Pittsburgh.
Right.
And he was another guy that helped you with the Action Lab thing, I believe, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So that's awesome, man. And you know, and then you, like some of the crazier part was like, so you started doing Puppet Master and you kind of like exploded. at least from what I could tell at shows, like, cause you know, I would help out with the Action Lab booth at shows. Right. And you and I would be there for 8 to 10 hours a day beside each other. And everybody that came up is like, oh man, you're the guy that wrote Puppet Master. This is awesome.
Right.
You know, and I thought those adaptations were excellent. Cause they basically took place after the whole series was over. Correct.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They were like, continuations of the mythology. Yeah.
Cool. Now, how did you guys get hooked up with the Full Moon people to do those books?
Well, I've always been a fan. I mean, growing up in, you know, in Vandergrift, this little town I live in still, me and my friends would go down to the video store every weekend, and Full Moon was the first like movie company we learned to look for. If we saw the Full Moon logo on a movie, we were like, we're running that tonight. You know, we'd go down every week trying to find new Full Moon movies. So around the time that I started pitching to Full Moon, my wife had gotten me, I want to say part 10 of the Puppet Master series, which was one I didn't have yet. So I sat down over the course of a couple weeks and watched the whole Puppet Master series in order. And the whole time in my head, I'm like, okay, well, I could do this here or this could happen here. And just after watching through all the movies, I just sat down and emailed Full Moon and was like, look, I'd really like to license the comic rights and, you know, see what we could do. And it happened real quick. They got back to me and were like, you know, yeah, you want to jump on a call and talk about this, see what you have in mind. And I mean, just rolled pretty quick after that.
That's awesome. That's real cool. So, crap, I lost my train of thought.
You're like also, me from last week.
I know. I also realized that I forgot to hit record, so I'm gonna have to like download the file off Facebook and then try to record, like strip the audio, but I'll be fine. I was like, crap, I never forgot something. Like today's just been a crazy, crazy day. So let's talk a little bit about our misadventures in Comic Cons. And then, my favorite, I think, have been the couple New York Comic Cons we went to. Right. And actually, like, you were actually at Bo's store, because Bo runs our Ohio Valley store. You were there for their grand opening.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like, it was you, Vito, and Brian, I think, that came out. Maybe Chad. I know there were stormtroopers, because there was a stormtrooper cake. but so it was a good time. Anyway, let's talk about last year's adventure. Last year's was a pretty fun one. So first off, Sean and I rode all the way up there together with Brian from Ash Lab with a van full of comics. We get pulled over on the turnpike because Brian's going a little too fast, and the officer's like, "What are all these boxes?" And he's like, comic books. And he's like, damn, well, go slow. You're kind of over the weight limit. We're like, thank God. Anyway. Usually when I hang out with Sean, like if you guys don't know Sean very, very much, which is why I brought him on here tonight. Right. He's kind of quiet. But he's a lot of fun to hang out with. So when you get to know him and you open him up, He's kind of like, let's go into the city. I've never been into the city. Let's do what we can. So we walked down to Midtown. We went to Midtown and Times Square, which was my first time in Midtown. And for a Wednesday, we were both kind of impressed by how many people were in there, especially because you had to go up the steps. Like, there's no elevator. You have to go up the steps, and then there's another floor above that.
Right.
And the line was nuts. There was probably like 30 people in line just to buy new books. And then there were like 40 people shopping in the store. It was crazy. And then we kind of walked around. You were looking for a Joe Hill book. And we ended up going over to Barnes & Noble. And he walks out of Barnes & Noble, and I'm like, pretty sure that's the Empire State Building. So that was kind of cool. A couple of nights we would then go down into town to get something to eat. We found this awesome little hole in the wall bar that had some great bar food, which I also went to with Brian Hess a couple years ago. And then we went to Gotham Cafe, I believe it's called.
Yeah, right.
With, I think that's it. Was that when we went with Dave DeWanch?
No, that was the year before. He wasn't at New York this year. So this me, you, and Nicole DeAndrea.
Right. The year before, though, we went with Dave DeWanch. Dave and I ended up talking about thrash metal the whole time. And then there was some kind of crazy thing where he got, like, locked out of his Airbnb. Like, it was nuts. So that was kind of fun. So, you know, basically – we got on the ferry and Lee Weeks is on the ferry with us.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, Sean, I think that's Lee Weeks. And he's like, really? So that was kind of fun. But we've had a lot of crazy little misadventures together. It's been a lot of fun. I kind of missed doing that with you this year.
This year has been, I mean, I'm not the most social person, but to not have any shows and not get that outlet at all was really, really odd.
It was very weird for sure. But I, you know, we still enjoy it. We have a lot of fun. You know, we get to do things like this instead. You get time to write new things. So around that same time of last year's New York, you were putting out a book called Let's All Die, right?
Yes.
Why don't you talk about that book? You have another book, I believe, that you were working on at the same time. But I read Let's All Die back then. It was hilariously awesome. So, why don't you pitch those, tell people what you're doing with them and how they can find them.
Okay. Well, Let's All Die is basically, I'm a big fan of like slasher movies, but I didn't want to just do the exact same story that you've seen a million times. So my take on it is that you have this group of people from a suicidal support group that, you know, just trying to keep everybody calm and alive. And this guy comes to them, to the group, and he's like, okay, well, you, this subset of you, you really seem like you're done. He's like, well, I own this camp, and, you know, there's this slasher that's been there for decades, and I can't get rid of him. He's starting to venture into the nearby town. We don't want that. So maybe if you guys just go there and let him kill you, he won't go back to the town and try to kill people over there. And they're like, yeah, let's do it. So it's basically, this is the issue one cover here. It's basically suicide by slashers. You know what I mean? They want to die. He wants to kill. So it kind of plays on the tropes. You know, there's the one guy who he decides he's just going to drink and smoke the whole weekend and just, you know, live it up and try to attract him that way. There's a couple who decides they're spending the whole weekend in their cabin. You know, they're just what they're doing the whole time. And, you know,
that's rule number one, don't get laid at summer camp.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's just a fun slasher story. As you have in horror movies, a girl's car breaks down nearby the camp and she winds up walking in there. So then you have, you know, a little bit of conflict of some of them trying to decide, well, should we try to get her out of here because she's not here for this. Right. You know what I mean? But they don't want to flip her out and tell her what's going on. And, you know, I like it. I'm partial.
I thought it was great. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. I definitely thought it was great. And I I think you get, did you give a couple copies or did we get a couple copies off of you for that at the Mills, or was that for Shark Squatch?
Shark Squatch.
Okay.
There's some copies at the Mill. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Shark Squatch, because that is also awesome.
Well, Shark Squatch, this one here. same kind of principle. Like I love Bigfoot movies, but I didn't want to do the same story. So I did something based on the aquatic ape theory, which is basically the aquatic ape theory says that as humans, we have more body fat and less body hair than most other land mammals. So the theory suggests that at some point we took to the water for a while in our evolution. And so the shark squatch is something that didn't come back with us. It's sort of like an aquatic Bigfoot kind of creature. This story is kind of a found footage, like a documentary crew is trying to find Bigfoot. They take this hunter out to help them find him. And he's like, there's no Bigfoot here. It's the shark squatch. And so, you know, you don't know if he's coming from under the water, out of the trees. It's just, you know,
so many more possibilities of death.
Yes. Yeah.
I think we need to make sure Bo gets a copy of that book, because I'm pretty sure he will love that.
So. I would. Yeah. Anything crazy like that.
Yeah. I'll see what we still have on the shelf. The Mills on, I think I'll be there Sunday. And if we need anything, I'll let you know. But, you know, we'll definitely support. So if you want to bring some in anyway, we'll hook you up.
Sounds like Grizzly Bear Shark from Image did that. I love that. So.
So what have you worked on, anything else new since the pandemic started, or was there anything like that was supposed to release before that, or?
Let's see, through Full Moon, because after doing the Puppet Master stuff, the people at Full Moon, they liked the work I was doing, so they brought me in to start doing comics straight from them.
Nice.
So some of the things we were doing, we did Dollman Kills the Full Moon Universe, which was like a crossover of, I want to say we worked in like 20 of their different movie properties.
In I remember, this, like, it was really good.
Series. And then we've been doing this Deadly 10 series, where they're doing... prior to the pandemic, they had plans to do 10 movies this year. Hmm. And we were doing a one-issue comic tie-in to each movie. I think we still have like three more of those left to come out after this, you know.
Once those are all popular in my store. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they are. They really are.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to hear. But yeah, and then I've been writing, you know, several other things that are too early to get into just yet, but
right.
You know, it's been all right with extra time to focus on it lately.
It's awesome. Were you attached to any of the Evil Bong stuff too? Because I know that was Full Moon, right?
It was. I did editorially on those.
Okay.
Like keeping the teams in line and everything, but yeah.
That's awesome. Those were always one of my favorite Full Moon movies. So cool.
Yeah, those are fun.
All right, so we're gonna kind of use that as the segue into talking about, you know, this is Halloween week. You know, Sean is the keeper of horror for I mean, to be fair, outside of like Tom Savini, you're kind of like the horror guy for Pittsburgh area, right? Because I don't think anybody else from the Pittsburgh area has written more horror stuff or worked on more horror stuff than you and Tom Savini have. So, you know, that's pretty awesome. So let's
I've
talk
never
about
really thought about that, but
right. I thought about that, was like, huh? Yeah. I can't think of anybody else. Maybe George Romero, like maybe like you're in like that top three bracket there, buddy. You might be the third, but you're at least in the top three. So, so let's talk a little bit about our favorite Halloween scary films. These can be anything from thrillers to total slasher to kind of sci-fi horror, because there's like the horror realm, I've learned, has kind of really been a bigger, it's a much larger category genre than people think. You know, and then slasher films even took it one step crazier and went, we're gonna have like the weird sci-fi ends. So you have like the Jason X, where he's like in space, and you have Dracula in space, and you have one of the Pinhead movies, he was in space, like and then you have crazy stuff like Life, which I finally got to see a couple weeks ago, which was kind of terrifying. Yeah. You know, it was definitely like, wow, totally could probably really happen, especially since I just found out there was water on the moon the other day. I was like, oh my God, we're all going, this is it. 2020. We're done. We're done. We're not going to see 2021. So I think my favorite, let's talk about favorite series first. My favorite, scary movie or horror series as a whole has to be the Halloween series for me. I've always loved Michael Myers. I even loved 3 with the weird witches. I thought it was cool that it kept reinventing itself in a fun way. That like just made the, it just kept making the lore crazier and crazier, but still kind of keeping it almost grounded. you know, but then I even liked the first of the 2 Rob Zombie movies. I thought that one was really good. The second one I thought played off that one well, but it kind of ruined the mythos. But you know, those movies always, to me personally, were just kind of like my favorite horror film in general, for that reason. So Bo, what's your favorite? And then we'll go to Sean.
Like series and whatnot. I've never been like really big into, like, I try to find slasher comics. I love the older slasher comics, but which you can never find them. I could find the Action Comics one before I could find some horror stuff, but that's besides the point. But series and stuff like that, it would have to be like Hostel, Saw. Like, I want something that could almost happen in real life. Just freaks you, like something that could be like, man, that could actually happen. You never know. So,
right.
But the two movies that always scared the absolute shit out of me was Candyman and Event Horizon. Anything, I don't know why Candyman scared the crap out of me, but it did. And then Event Horizon, just that demonic space aspect. Man, I still, I'm 37 and can't watch a movie still. Still mess with me. When I watched them as a kid, they like terrified me. So,
oh man. Oh. So. All right, Sean, what's your favorite, at least series?
Well, if we're doing series, it would have to be the Nightmare on Elm Street series.
Nice.
Freddy has always, he makes me laugh and he terrifies me.
Yep.
Because I, you know, if you're doing like Michael Myers or Jason or something like that, you might get chased for a minute or two, but it's a pretty quick kill.
Yeah.
But Freddy is, he'll chase you around, he'll laugh at you while you're peeing yourself running from him. And that to me is just horrifying.
Because he knows he's going to win. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, because you can feel like you're getting away, but you're in his, you're in his dream world. So he's just going to appear right in front of you anyway. So you're done. But as an individual movie, Black Christmas is my favorite.
Oh, that's a good
movie
one.
Favorite movie. Yeah. The original Black Christmas is fantastic. We watch it like 3 times a year. It's like our my wife and I, it's our Christmas Eve tradition.
Oh,
we'll sit down and we'll be wrapping presents or whatever and have Black Christmas playing. It's nice.
That's awesome. I think for me individually, as individual movies, Sleepaway Camp 1.
Yes.
And probably From Hell. Okay, which was an adaptation of the Alan Moore comic, but holy fuck was that scary. Like, and it was long, like for back in the day, like it was like a 2.5-3 hour movie, and Johnny Depp in it just being very creepy and freaked out at the same time. But I, you know, when I was a kid, like Nightmare on Elm Streets were definitely up there. Friday the 13th were up there. Gremlins was up there. Aliens.
Aliens is awesome. Any space ones are cool.
Right. The Puppet Master, like at least the first 2 Puppet Master movies were scary as hell for me. Child's Play. The new one was awful, by the way. Don't spend
it.
Time.
It was so bad. Yeah.
I was like, man, Mark Hamill, way to cash in on that check, buddy. Just cash and go, you know? So, I definitely feel that those would be mine. Like, there's definitely some that, like my wife cannot watch. Oh man, it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie that there's a woman that is, she's in the shower and she keeps seeing like a dead kid that drowned outside the shower. Like, do you know what I mean? I gotta watch how loud I talk, because if she hears me talk about it, she's not gonna sleep tonight. So to this day, because of that movie, she cannot shower with the curtain all the way closed, because she's afraid some scary dead girl's gonna be standing there. And I'm just like, what? Like,
are you serious? You don't know. You don't know.
I think it was the water, or water. It had something to do with water.
Lady in the Water.
Like that. Yeah, yeah, something maybe like that was it. Yeah. Yeah. But that movie was pretty horrifying as well. The original Texas Chainsaw Massacre has been a classic for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I've actually been rewatching some of these lately as well, which are a lot of fun. Hulu put on a lot of really good movies, so did Amazon and Netflix this year. So, you know, good time and to be stuck inside.
Yeah. If you're into more like the cheesy side of things, The Stuff is amazing. Mm. Chopping Mall is fantastic.
Chopping Mall was amazing.
Chopping Mall is so good. That's one of my favorites. I love it.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. Come on.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Here's another great Sean story. So I'm at the Mills. The Killer Clowns from Outer Space pops come in, and I take a picture of it, and I just send it to him. I'm like, you need me to hold these, right? And he's like, yeah, I'll be up on Thursday.
Like, so, hold me one each. There's only three, right? Yeah.
So, but The Blob is another good one. Mm-hmm. Especially the original, like the original couple Blobs. There's some really good old Twilight movies. Oh man,
Twilight movies.
No, Twilight Zone movies. I meant, sorry, not the Twilight movies. Yeah, no.
We know what you meant.
Whoa. You know, I did once make a Magic the Gathering deck out of foiled vampire cards just to call it Twilight, because I thought it'd be funny.
I read the book, so it's not that bad.
But Creepshow was like fantastic. A fantastic movie. Like, you have like all those little mini series. You have the one where Mark Hamill's like the crazy squirrel thing. That tells the kid to like save everything, and then he does, and eventually he has like just like he's driving this like car that has everything he owns, and all of a sudden people just start buying it off him, and he ends up with like a ton of money at the end. The meteor crashes, and like all of a sudden everything is covered in moss, including the guy. Right. Toxic Avengers, another great terribly awesome horror movie, but yet comic book. So there's been a good bunch. So I almost want to next year just have Sean write me a list of different horror movies to watch every day in October.
I could do that, and I could probably lend you plenty of good ones too.
We're just gonna have watch parties next year.
Come on over. We'll come on over. We'll put in some good stuff.
All right. Yeah, I'll get Sean, or I'll get Ryan and Scott to come over too. It'll be a good time.
There we go. Yeah. I just got the brand new Friday the 13th Blu-ray box set the other day.
Oh, and nice.
I texted some pictures to a buddy of mine. He's like, okay, so when are we watching through all these? Like, come over whenever. We'll do it.
That's awesome. Yeah, that has to be, that again has to be one of the better series of all time. Like, just, you know, it's such a staple of, like, I'm pretty sure that movie franchise had a movie come out almost every year for like 4 years.
Pretty much. Yeah
that was nuts. So all right, so we're gonna I have my three fun questions for you, which is toward the end of the show here, because we're wrapping up a little. All right, if you could write any horror property as a comic book in existence, what would it be? If you can get the license to anything, and you could write, I don't care if it's a one shot or a mini or a whole 20 year long series, like, what would it be?
Oh man. Well, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, either one of those I could do just forever on. I already have pitches in mind for both of those. Basket Case would be an amazing miniseries to do. Set it on like Easter time, where, and then you have like the little mishap where he runs into a girl in town who has the same basket, and he winds up leaving town with her basket, and she takes the basket with Belial in it.
Oh man.
I'm sure I could. I mean, a Chopping Mall sequel would be fantastic to do. But yeah, there's. I mean, I could go down my wall downstairs, just all horror movies, and just pick out countless.
Right. That'd be awesome. I think you should do a that you should do, because I also know that you are a giant Gilmore Girls fan. Like you've named your daughter after Gilmore Girls character. That you should write like a horror episode of Gilmore Girls. Like like Luke's coffee turns everybody into like demons or something. Like maybe a crossover with Buffy.
I've been thinking about it a lot lately, though. It's funny that you bring that up. Because in all the movies, the slasher is always this huge giant thing. And I want to do a story with just like I guess the kind of Wrong Turn kind of had the littler kind of killer. But the idea of like that spindly, odd built killer, and what's his name? Kirk from Gilmore Girls. Gunn. Sean Gunn?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Him as a killer, just with the way he's built, with just the mask on and you know, some kind of ratty old pants, just all this exposed, I think would be fantastic. And he's a good actor too, so he'd pull it off.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's a funny funny connection there. I think that'd be fun.
What was the name of his Uber thing? It was
Uber.
Uber. O-O-O-B-E-R. Totally Uber. Yeah. Uber. Yeah. Yep. All right. Second question. Because this will be kind of fun. So when the world reopens, where do you want to go on your next con adventure with me?
Well, we have to get you to San Diego.
That would be at awesome. Some point.
I mean, we do this show in Texas every year, Texas Frightmare, which is a fantastic show. I think you'd have a blast there, and the barbecue is just incredible. Mm. We hit like the same barbecue spot every night.
Probably. Oh, I thought you meant like it was like a after party barbecue, and there'd be like a bunch of people dressed like Cenobites grilling people. Like
they do have horror themed after parties, but we just skip out and go get barbecue because we're in Texas, and
right.
I mean, you know, that's what you do.
Hey man, that's perfect.
And it's me and Dwanch, so it's
nice. You know, yeah, I'm there. That'll be great.
Good time.
All right. The last question is, if you could make a basically like X-Men team of horror villains.
Ooh.
With like, so like, we'll keep it to like your original five, like your first class team. So you have your Cyclops leader character, who's kind of like the Boy Scout, your Jean Grey, who's your female, who's like the kind of like underdogged like superpower, because nobody realizes how powerful that person actually is. Angel, who's like your flyer, right? Beast, who's your strong guy, and then Iceman, who's your kind of wild card. So,
and we're taking the like the villains. So
yeah, you have to make an H team.
Okay.
An H man. So,
I'd take the albino from the Wrong Turn movies. Could be the Bobby Drake, because he's just giggling while he's out there, you know, sawing people in half. the Beast would have to, I want to say Jason, but I'm gonna go Pumpkinhead.
Okay.
He's got that the strength, he's gigantic, and he's got that look that's different from everybody else, like Beast always had to deal with. Let's see, there haven't been too many female killers in like prominent horror movies. So that's a little hard one. Leader wise, I'll go Freddy because he doesn't shut up, so that'll work out. He can go bark orders and tell people what to do. That's great.
He always seems like he has a plan too. So
Yeah, right. And we've got what were the qualifications for Angel?
He was mostly just the flyer. Like he was like somebody who could do reconnaissance, I guess.
Right. Oh geez. Well, the creeper from Jeepers Creepers. He's your flyer. He can get around. For some reason my phone decided that I was talking to it and started Googling things. That was
interesting.
let's see. The only real female I can think of,
it doesn't necessarily have to be female though. It could just be the underrated powerhouse. Like to me, the underrated powerhouse is always Pennywise because he looks like a clown. But,
right,
you know, he is terrifying.
Well, it depends on if you count Carrie as the villain of the movie. She's definitely
otherwise she's your winner.
Yeah. She is a powerhouse.
Yeah.
I would accept either or.
Either way. Yeah. We can go with Carrie. She's a little unstable, but I think we can get through that.
It's kind of the point, right?
Right. Right.
So cool. So where can people find
a redhead?
Oh yeah, that's true. All right. So where can people find more about your books and what you do while we wrap up here?
Well, right now my website, I have a website. It's Sean Writes Things, but I can't get it to forward to my storage just yet. I don't know why.
Interesting.
It's being a pain on that. So if you Google Handwritten Entertainment, you'll find the store that has the first couple issues of both Shark Squatch and Let's All Die. And it's got, I'm a 90s kid. I was a, you know, young kid and teen in the 90s. So I have Pogs for both book series where the killer is the slammer.
That's cool.
And the Pogs you're trying to flip over are the people that are dying.
Yeah.
So it's I put some thought into that. You know?
That I may have to buy a set of that just because that's hilarious. So, well, thank you, sir, for being on the show. This is it's been a lot of fun. You know, you're one of my longest friends in Pittsburgh, and you know, it is good to see you wearing the white shirt. I'm pretty sure that is the only shirt you actually own. You just wear it every day. it's not
pretty,
quite
pretty
flannel.
Much, yes.
I mean, it's starting to be flannel season, so it'll be flannel on a white shirt, you know.
It will be. Yep. Yep.
We make that joke all the time because we've shared hotel rooms before, and it's just like, you know, like Sean dumps out his bag and it's just all white shirts.
All it is.
So, but I miss you guys.
It saves me having to think when I'm getting dressed in the morning. I can just open the drawer, grab out the next white t-shirt, and I'm good to go.
You know what? I'm pretty sure like that was like what Steve Jobs did. He had the same black right. turtleneck right. and the same pair of Levi's and like the same pair of shoes and shorts or socks and underwear. And that's all he ever
Einstein wore.
Einstein
wore the same suit too.
Because it was one less thing they got to worry about every day.
Right.
I think Todd told me that once. I was like, but I never see you wear the same shirt twice, Todd. So, but I'm glad that you're doing well. I'm glad you guys are staying safe and doing great in this crazy, weird pandemic world. And I miss you guys. I can't wait to high five and go adventuring in some city during a con, or even just into Pittsburgh and adventuring for a while. That would be fun.
Right.
I'd settle for that right now.
Nice.
You know. So, Bo, you got anything else?
Nope.
Cool. Just remember, everybody, to shop your local comic shop every week. There's plenty to choose from in the Pittsburgh area. You know, everybody from all the New Dimension comics, obviously, to Geekadrome, Phantom of the Attic, Infinity out by you, and you know, Duncan, Arkham, there's so many of them. I probably should stop before I forget people, but seriously, shop your local comic shop. We need to be employed too. And you need some escapism. We got it for you. You need to play a new game. We got it for you. But just make sure you check out, I know a lot of stores are doing, alternate hours from what they used to do. So make sure you check out all of their Facebooks and stuff like that. And, definitely go buy some stuff, support local comics. A lot of us carry local writers, creators, artists, and, yeah, look for Sean's stuff. We have a bunch of it. if you want some cool horror stuff, check out his Puppet Master stuff, in stock at almost every New Dimension comic store. And you can go to comichub.com and search for Puppet Master graphic novels. You'll probably find them at New Dimension comic stores. But that's about it. And thanks everybody for being on this week. And I am John. With me is Bo. Thanks again, Sean. And we will talk to everybody next week. See ya.